Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come and let your glory come, and let your glory fall. Our Father, who art in heaven, the rocks cry out your name. Come and let your glory come, and let your glory fall. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, every heart proclaim the mercy of your name. On earth as it is in heaven. God, give us new every morning, mercy as daily bread. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us with your hand. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus we pray. Father, we pray. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, every heart proclaim the mercy of your name. On earth as it is in heaven, for the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever. Amen. The kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, the glory forever. Amen. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven.
We have the awesome privilege, we have the awesome responsibility, but it is a privilege to proclaim how great our God is. So together we're going to do that now. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great, how great is our God!
He stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in lion and the lamb, the lion and the lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! How great
seated. Well, this morning, as I mentioned earlier, we have a special guest speaker. Lawrence Hartshorn is going to come and share a little bit about the ministry that he and Deb are part of in Mexico through the winter months, and he's also going to bring the message this morning. Lawrence and Deb were here for many, many years. I think they were here from the beginning, if I'm not incorrect there. Well, the beginning of Byron. Sorry, Lawrence. So, and Lawrence has served this community, this faith community, in many, many, many ways through the years that he and Deb were here. So, welcome. Welcome home.
Good to be home. Good to be home. Yes, we were one of the 14 families that moved from North Park Community Church to begin this. We used to be Byron Baptist. We opened up September 14, 1980. About the only date I can remember. So good to be back with you. Now, you will, many of you won't know my wife Debbie and myself. We finished our careers in London, and in 2007 we went into full-time ministry in Alaska. We figured if we were going to have winter, we might as well have winter. And so we spent 4 years there, and then the Lord, in a great turn of his hand, said, okay, now I want you to spend your winters in Mexico. And so that's where we are. We're on southern Baja, so let me just show you. So down here, this is the Baja Peninsula, okay? It's 1,000 miles long, and it's probably 1,500 miles to drive because you cross it four times going down. The roads are not great. So here's a closer-up look, and we're, let me get the right button here. We're down here on this point right here, about 2 hours north of Cabo, a place called Los Barriles. It's a little fishing town, about 4,000 people. This is what our beach looks like. The farmers, of course, can't feed their cattle, so their cattle roam all over town and on the highways and everywhere else. I wanted to take this picture because I wanted to show you we have a Tim Hortons. Somebody brought down a can of coffee with Tim Hortons on it, and this guy, very ingenious, created his own sign. I don't think Tim Hortons brand would like that idea. Here's our Christmas tree. This is a century plant. They grow very tall, and then we make them into a Christmas tree. And, of course, we began our first year a food program, and so we deliver, this actually is our Christmas gift baskets. They love cornflakes. And so they get enough for a full meal, and then we go out and deliver those. About 28, maybe 30 families that receive those. And then one lady sent us a knitted cap for every kid in the program. So that was kind of nice. We give them four things: rice, flour, oil, and what's the other thing? Beans, once a week. So we're not giving them everything they need, but we're giving them some things. And what happens? Here's Simone's house. We haven't been inside. We don't really want to go inside. So why do we have a food program? What's the purpose? This is the purpose, because all those families come to us, and we're the gringos, of course. So we don't do this. We have a Mexican gentleman, a Christian, a follower of Christ, who looks after our food program. And the Mexican families come to him, and they say, "Why are you doing this? Why are you giving us food, and why are you praying over us?" And he said, "This food is from the hand of Jesus." And so they've never heard that in the Catholic Church. And so they say, "Well, we want to hear more. We like, who are you people? Why are you doing this?" And so a Tuesday night Bible study began, and many of those families and their relatives, we now have about 75 people in the Tuesday night Bible study, and this is the result. People are coming to the Lord. We had 15 baptisms this year. We do it in a hot tub because the ocean's cold. That's what's happening here. So this girl is pretty disappointed, isn't she? So it's a great time. We also, some of you have heard from me, I'm always harping on this guy. I just love this man, Pastor Francisco. And he has a little church, and that's his church. And it's out in the countryside. And really what that says is Cornerstone Church, right? And he's a great evangelist. And so here's the inside. No nice chairs like we have here. And so we're also doing solar water projects. Now, this lady in this house, in this ranch, has been for 40 years going down to this little hole in the rock down about 100 feet in a ravine to get two buckets of water to water her chickens and things like that every day. And so these gentlemen from our church decided that they put in a solar-powered pump, and now they gave her the hose at the top of the hill, asked her to flip the switch, and water poured out, and she shrieked with delight. It's an amazing thing. And Michael, on the far side, gets all the guys in his neighborhood together, non-churched guys, and has them for breakfast and says, "Okay, on Saturday morning, this is what we're doing." And they say, "I can't. I'm tied up. I'm golfing. I'm fishing. I'm whatever." And so he says, "Okay, you can't help. You pay." And so he collects money from them, and this is how the project is funded. So it's just a solar panel, and that's the way it is. And then how many times have we seen the shoeboxes lined up on this platform, right? And we never know what happens at the other end, right? And so here we did. We got to see what happens in the countryside when all these kids get their boxes from Samaritan's Purse. And it's very organized. It's very disciplined. They teach them the Word of God to begin with, and then there's a discipleship program that follows for 12 weeks. And we have another program called Pesos for People. Now, this is a home right here. It's about 10 by 10, and it's made with palm leaves and bits of tarp, and that's the inside. So there's three mattresses on, looks like skids. And so when Chewy, our food program gentleman, Chewy, which is short for Jesus, isn't that wonderful? Chewy. And so Chewy and his wife came to the elders and said, can we please help this family? This family is desperate. And so we put an appeal out to our family. This is Chewy here. And the three of six kids that live in that little hut. And so we began on one day, us old gringos, to build a 16 by 16 with a sloped roof. And when we were worn out by 5:30, then a Mexican crew came and poured a concrete floor. So they had a complete home in one day, which was amazing. And it cost us about $600, I think, to build that. Now, this gentleman here sent me this picture, and the caption I'm not going to share with you, but basically it says, don't look this guy in the eye or you'll get volunteered. So that's our, I'd be glad to talk to you about that. Other things that we do, we have a church that runs 60 or 75 people in the winter. A lot of snowbirds, and then we have a lot of folks who stay. We have about 25 people that stay there over the summer. We left when we started to see snakes and scorpions every day. So scorpions are not my friend. I don't like getting stung with them. All right. Let me just take a few. I've got a little time, right, Rick? So I want to just bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in the Baja Peninsula. You have family all over the world, and that is what is so encouraging to us. We have we meet a lot of people down there, and we meet some people who say, "Yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm on holidays, and so they don't come to church." And that is so foreign to me, because every holiday Debbie and I have ever had, we have to find a church on Sunday because that's family. And so we meet all kinds. We have I've been asked to. I have a prayer time every Sunday morning, and I take requests. It's an interesting word, isn't it? I take prayer requests from people, and then I pray over those things. And I've had some very interesting ones. Pray for my dog who's having surgery. That was probably my hardest one. So it's a wonderful group of believers, and we are privileged to be in ministry among them. We are well cared for. We are loved. I'd love to tell you that ministry is perfect, but ministry is not perfect. People misbehave. I misbehave. My wife is perfect, though. Let me say that right now. Anyway, this morning, in the few minutes I have left, I want to share with you a truth, and it's a picture, actually, and it's embedded in Matthew. And first of all, it's in red, so that means they're the very words of Jesus, and of course, it's important. And it's a passage that is contained in three of the four Gospels, so that makes it important as well. And so here's the passage I want to just spend a few minutes on this morning and share with you. Matthew 22:15-22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him, Jesus, in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others, because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Then he said to them, so give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And when they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. So here's the phrase. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. The twofold answer. So here's the question that jumps out at me with this passage. What belongs to God? It's a natural question, right? It just follows. And so that's what I want to explore this morning, just in a few minutes. So let me pray as we continue in this regard. Lord, we give you thanks this morning for this church family here. We give you thanks for the opportunity to praise your name. We know that in many parts of the world, that is it's a very dangerous thing to be praising you. We pray over those persecuted Christians that you would watch over them and give them courage today. Lord, as your word is opened here, may you be the one who is speaking. May you be the one who encourages us to live for you and to give you all we have. And Lord, I'll be grateful if you are the speaker this morning. And so I give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. So at the time, let me give you a little history. The Pharisees and the Herodians and the Sadducees, and then there's another group called the Sanhedrin and the scribes and all the lawyers. So all this group, these guys do not get along. The Pharisees think one thing, the Herodians, the Pharisees, of course, felt that the Herodians were compromising because they want Jewish independence from Rome. The other guys, of course, were the Herodians. They wanted to follow King Herod. And, of course, they wanted to bow and make life real easy for themselves. And so there was a huge conflict. These guys didn't like each other at all. But they set aside their differences in order to plot how they might kill Jesus. And so here we have these two groups in Matthew 22 joining forces to achieve their common goal, the death of Jesus Christ. And so these men come to Jesus with this question: is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? And they thought they were putting Jesus in a trap, and it was well thought out. They schemed very carefully, and it didn't really matter to them how Jesus answered, because he would be in trouble. No matter, is this cutting out when I turn? No. Yeah, it really didn't matter. Whoops. Either they could denounce him to the Romans as a rebel for not paying the tax, or they could denounce him to the people as a supporter of Rome if he said to pay the unpopular tax. So they thought they had the Lord in a great dilemma. How did these guys get so filled with hatred? So they're just prior to this event, there's three parables. Interesting parables set up to set the stage for what we're talking about this morning. So the first one, we have the father's vineyard, where the father says to the two sons, go out and work in the vineyard. And one son said, I won't go, but did go. The other son said, I will go, but didn't go. And so the sting in that parable came for the Pharisees when Jesus said to them, John came to show you the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Ouch. That's a sting. So then the next parable is the one about the landowner who'd rented his land to tenants, and he sends his servants to collect his portion of the fruit. And so that we know the tenants seize these servants and kill them, and the landowner sends another set, and they kill them. And then he sends his son, and don't the tenants of the land kill the son as well? And so Jesus asked the Pharisees what should be done to these tenants. And he says, well, they should be, you know, given to a different people who will produce fruit. Anyone who fails to do so, they should be tossed. But Jesus says, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. And of course, this is stinging as well. And the third parable was about the wedding banquet where those who were invited didn't come. And so the Lord sends out servants to find and fill the wedding table. Verse 14 says, For many are invited, but few are chosen. So in addition to these three parables, we have a number of tests that the Pharisees put the Lord to as well. But here we have their answer, what belongs to God. And so to consider this, they bring a coin. And so I have two simple questions for you. Whose image and whose name? Those are the questions that the Lord asked the Pharisees. Whose image and whose name? And so let me start with the name side first. What's in a name? What comes to mind, to your mind, when I say, what's in a name? Perhaps it's your given name. Anybody here not like their given name? Nobody. I don't like my given name. Right? I wish I had a name like Mike. It's strong. Or Duke. Or King. Or even that guy on from Australia, Donk. Like, I mean, anything with, you know, with strength would be great. You know, my name Lawrence was okay in the courtroom when I was prosecuting, but I don't need that anymore. But that's my name. That's who I am. That's, you know, when the Lord retreaded me, which is retired plus called to service, he didn't change my name. So here I am. And it's pretty formal. But that's me. You know, in this church many years ago, we had a guy named Lynn Holly. That guy could not win, could he? Lynn Holly. You know, some of you are old enough to remember a guy named Gale Sayers, called the Kansas Comet. You know, just an amazing football superstar. Remember Johnny Cash in his San Quentin album, A Boy Named Sue. Oh, you're great. You know, when our second child was born, he was without a name for 5 days because we were ready for Pamela Victoria. So poor Dave was the heartthorn baby with no name for 5 days. Once in Alaska, I was waiting for a volunteer to arrive, and I knew the day and the time, and the knock came at the door, and I opened the door, and Carol Prosser was a guy. And so I stumbled. What's in a name? A name identifies us. You know, Adam was asked by God to name everything that God created. And we also know that Adam named his wife Eve. What's in a name? Everything we have has a name. Our cars, our flowers, our every bridge in Baja has a name. Everything is identified. Some people legally change their names. On our wedding day, Debbie changed her name from Debbie Town to Debbie Hartshorn. And I'd ask her if that was a good trade, but I know the answer I'd get for sure. One day I got a letter from my father, and he told me in his letter, which was just the most precious thing to keep, that it was time for him to hand over the family name, a name that he had spent his life caring for, nurturing, establishing, And so it was my turn to take it over. And I thought that was great. That, you know, it was kind of like passing the blessing. And then he said, you can maintain it or you can give it away in a second, right? With a lack of integrity and so, or carelessness. And so that was a big call. And so I was able to hopefully build that back and, you know, and maintain that power. You know, 1 Peter tells us that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And when we accept Christ, we have a new family name. His name. We've just been singing the name of Jesus. I couldn't have picked a better song to come up here under. We bear his name. So whose inscription is on the denarius? And of course, it was Caesar, and the Lord drew his attention to that and forced them to acknowledge the name of Caesar. If we are Christ's follower, we bear a different name. We bear his name, not Christ, but Christian. We are named after the name above all names, the King of Kings. If we are a Christ follower, we bear his name. Big Daddy Weave. Do you sing any of their songs here? Big Daddy Weave? I hope you do. They're a great group. They have a song that says, I'm not who I used to be. I'm redeemed. Right? I'm redeemed. And if you're a Christ follower, you have been given a new name. In Acts 11, we read that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, in Baja, I run into lots of Christians, but they're the little C Christians. You know what they are? They're folks who believe that having come from Europe one time generations ago and coming to the West, coming to North America, that they're automatically Christian. And so I'm very careful. In fact, I tend not to use the word Christian because I say Christ follower. Because it's getting muddied now, right? And so when we come to a point where we confess our sin and we repent of it and we accept Christ's free gift of salvation, we become a Christian, a Christ follower. And there's even a hint. Maybe Pastor John has talked about this at some point, but I think there's even a hint in Revelation that we might even get a new name in heaven. I'll look forward to that. And then finally, in our passage, we're asked to consider whose image is this. That was the Lord's question to the Pharisees, whose image? And of course, and they said, Caesar's. Then he, Jesus, said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And to give God what is God's. So the question that begs to be asked, as a chosen people who bear his name, what image do we bear? What do we look like? We bear his name, yes. But what do we look like as we are living our lives? Are we recognized as the world's design? Do we bear the Savior's design on us? There's a big difference there. What is the purpose of my life? What's the purpose of your life? God says in Isaiah 43, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. It is to glorify God that he created us. Created for my glory. That's my mission. That's your mission as a Christ follower. Luke 9 says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It is not me who lives, but Christ lives in me. I died. I was a slave to sin. Those are the hardest sermons I have to preach in Baja. And I preach to mostly Americans, and of course, I just cannot separate politics and serving God. I can't do it. And so when, you know, the Americans are always telling us that they're either a Democrat or a or a Republican? And I said, that's impossible. It can't be. You have to vote for the one who least offends God. If someone is pro-abortion, how can you vote for that person? That offends God. So I get into a little trouble because people would like me to separate politics from Scripture. I can't do it. I'm a slave to Christ, and I have to make my decisions have to follow that. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So our lives need to have a singular focus. I have a friend in Alaska on the back of his truck, and he says, a soldier of Christ. It's a great decal on the back of his truck. And then, of course, have you ever seen God is Not Dead? Have you seen that video? So you remember a little section in there where one of the Dynasty boys gets interviewed just before they go into church. And he uses this verse out of Matthew 10. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. That's a great little interview. It's a great movie. Do you speak out the name of the Lord? Do I do that? When something great happens at a checkout, somebody says, oh, there's a 25% discount on that. What do you say? Here's what I do. I say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's who I have to be, right? People have to know me and my devotion to the Lord. I hear stories a lot from people coming down of the absolute disaster that people encounter when someone, a loved one, dies. It's tough. I don't discount that because I've been in that spot before. But you know, for us as believers, that's just graduation day, right? We shouldn't fall apart. We're sorrowful, yeah, but that's just as Elizabeth Cleland taught me years ago. It's just graduation day, right? Colossians 4 says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders," meaning those who have not yet come to faith in Christ. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. What image do we bear? What do we look like to those who do not believe? We sang a song this morning about being a light in the community. Your community and your family and your group of relatives. Do we look like someone who has been redeemed? I hope so. Debbie and I are reading through the Bible again this year, and a number of months ago, of course, we read about the Exodus and how the Egyptians loaded them with wealth when they left. And we read about the construction of the tabernacle and how that temple was dismantled and re-erected whenever they stopped during their 40 years of wandering. And in Exodus 25, we read that Moses called the people to give, and then he had to say, stop, right? In Deuteronomy, we read that the Lord made his dwelling place among men, and the tabernacle, the portable temple, was where he set his name. We are the portable temples, right? 1 Corinthians 16, do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 6, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. We are walking around temples of God, and God lives in us. His name is on us, and his Spirit is in us. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we bear the family name, and we represent God and his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a capital C on our sweater. Jesus is our captain, and we're already on the winning team. We belong to God. We are his earthly reps, his representatives. We are his hands and feet. So let us spend our days seeking to glorify God in all we do. Let us be living like we belong to God. Does everyone know that when they look upon us? Our friends, our family. Debbie and I, on Debbie's side, we only have one believer in her entire family. And so they are relying on us. They don't know it yet, but they are relying upon us to be a light among them. People are depending upon you and me to be living like we belong to God. Titus 2 says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. I implore you, my brothers and sisters, to live like we belong to God. We have been redeemed." It's interesting, isn't it, that in John 14, the setup with the parables and even the fig tree, as we get to this, what belongs to God, all talks about fruit, right? The fig tree didn't bear any fruit, and it withered. The gardener and his two sons, the landowner and the tenants, the wedding feast, all these parables that precede "gift to God, what belongs to God," talk about fruit. That's our purpose. John 14 is quite the chapter on bearing, on no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will last. That's our job. I heard an interview recently with Billy Graham, who is now in his 90s, of course, and he was being honored. And during this honoring of some kind, he was interviewed, and he was telling us about the suit he had on. And he bought a brand new suit for this event. And he said, "This is the suit I'm going to be buried in if the Lord does not come." And he continued talking about his devotion to the Lord and asked this: "What does one do when faced with the five problems in life?" And so I'm waiting. What five problems are there? Death, loss, conflict, pain, and suffering. What does one do when faced with those problems? The only solution, he says, to life's five problems is God. The great evangelist made this statement as he concluded, "Life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. What's the point?" Right? What is the point in living life without God in your life and without you being folded into his completely? What do we look like? We bear his name. Let us live our lives like we belong to God. Lord, we give you thanks for this, just this small lesson, this picture, that we ought to live our lives like we belong to you. Give us strength. Give us courage to do that. Feed us from your word so that we'll be able to give an account and to be able to respond to everyone who asks. Bring those people to us, Lord, that we may speak your name, we may speak your goodness. And Lord, I know that heaven, all heaven will celebrate, but it would be a great honor, Lord, to be able to tell people the solution to life's five greatest troubles. God is the solution. So we give you thanks for this morning. Encourage us all in Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for the challenge and for the reminder of whose image we do bear. Where do you draw your strength from? Where do you draw your joy from? Scripture tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Please stand with us.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. And it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
Well, thank you for joining with us this morning. Remember whose image you bear as you leave these doors this morning, as you go out to serve Him in where He has planted you. Have a great week.